بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue on the subject of the rejectionists, quote unquote Shia, and this is the third part, and the title of this part is the historical accounts and historical roots of Shia. Shia in its foundations and creed did not emerge suddenly. Rather, it went through stages and split into many sects. It is not of our concern to follow the stages of its developments and the developments of its of the emergence of its sects, but we need to focus upon the emergence of the Tashayya and its initiation. The logical step to follow this is to check the resources of the Shia themselves. Take the opinions of those from amongst them who are specialized in their creed and in their history. This is a logical and a quote scientific end of quote approach. When we do that, we will find that there is no unified opinion amongst the rejectionist Shia on this matter. However, it is possible to summarize three major opinions regarding the foundation of this sect. All of these three opinions were mentioned in their references, which they consider as reliable, which is considered reliable references to them. And we will take each opinion and then comment on it. The first opinion is that the Tashayya, Shiaism, quote, end of quote, is ancient, emerged before the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that no prophet except that he was presented with the belief in the wilaya, the reign of Ali. May Allah be pleased with him. This opinion, which may sound strange to you, is mentioned in the most quote-unquote reliable references of the people, and from that is Al-Kafi, where it mentioned that the wilaya of Ali is written in all the prophetic records, and that no messenger will be sent except with the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the belief in the reign of Ali alayhi salam. and that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام bequeathed to Ali. This is in Usul al-Kafi by Al-Kilmini in volume 1, page 437. Also they interpret the verse in Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 115. وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. And indeed we made a covenant with Adam before, but he forgot, and we found on his part no firm willpower. They claim that this covenant we made a covenant with Adam regarding whom? Regarding Muhammad and the Imams after Muhammad. And that he did not take of that, meaning Adam. And this interpretation is very, very remote. Rather, it is even distortion. And while the meaning refers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam that shaitan is adu, is an enemy to Adam and his wife, and that he should not let you sway you away and take you out from paradise. And so he forgot that. And he was not patient, alayhi salam, as in the tafsir of Qatada, and also in the tafsir of At-Tabari. This has nothing to do with Ali, nor with the Imams. Rather, they claim that the Prophets and the Messengers were called Ulil Azm, the people of firm power and determination, because they took the covenant in Muhammad and the trustworthy after him, meaning the Mahdi and the Imams. As in the book of Al-Kafi, volume 1, page 416, and by Al-Qummi, in his book Ilal al-Shara'i, and Al-Kashani in his book Al-Safi, and Al-Bahrani in his book Al-Mahajja, and Al-Majlisi in his book Al-Bihar, and Al-Safar in his book Basair al-Darajat. They even claim in the book of Al-Majlisi that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, as they say, Ya Ali, O Ali, Allah did not send a prophet except that he called and invited him, meaning the messenger, to give allegiance to you willingly or unwillingly. This is in Al-Majlisi's book Al-Bihar, volume 11, page 60. And in Al-Bahrani's book known as Al-Ma'alim al-Zulfa, page 303. And this report is also in As-Saffar's book Basair al-Darajat, page 21. And in another report, they claim that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took the covenant of all the prophets regarding the wilaya, the reign of Ali. And they claimed also that wilayatuna is wilayatullah. No prophet had been sent except with it. This is in At-Nuri At-Tabrasi, book Mustadrak al-Wasail, volume 2, page 195, and in Al-Ma'alim al-Zulfa, page 303. And even their sheikh, known as Al-Bahrani, tabulated a title for his chapter, Bab, chapter, أن الأنبياء بعثوا على ولاية الأئمة. The Anbiya, the Prophets, were sent to affirm the wilaya to the Imams. And that, they said, it is affirmed that أن جميع أنبياء الله ورسله, all the Prophets of Allah and His Messengers, وجميع المؤمنين and all the believers, كانوا لعلي بن أبي طالب مجيبين. They all were respondent to Ali bin Abi Talib. وَثَبَتَ أَنَّ الْمُخَالِفِينَ لَهُمْ. And it is affirmed that those who opposed them كانوا له ولجميع أهل محبته مبغضين. That they were to him and to all of those who love him were haters. And they said, فَلَا يَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. No one will be admitted to paradise except إِلَّا مَنْ أَحَبَّهُ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ. Except those who love him from the first and the last ones. And the latter ones. فهو إذن, so he Ali is قسيم الجنة والنار, is the one who will be the criteria for admittance to paradise and hell. And this is in Al-Kashani's book Tafsir al-Safi, volume 1, page 16. These narrations also came in many of their so-called reliable references. الكافي للكليني, الوافي للكاشاني, والخصال للصدوق, والفصول المهمة للحر العاملي, and والبرهان للبحراني, and تفسير الصافي للصافي, and others, many. Even their, one of their strongly reliable sources regarding their narrations mentioned that Allah, حين خلق الخلق, when Allah created the creation, أخذ الميثاق على الأنبياء, He took the covenant of the prophets, تزيد على ألف حديث, that the narrations exceed 1,000, that this is the case. That Allah, when He created the creation, took the covenant of all the prophets, meaning to give the allegiance to Ali. Their exaggerations did not stop with that which we have just mentioned. In fact, their reference known as An-Nuri said in Mustadrak al-Wasail, volume 2, page 195, أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ اسْمُهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose name is Most Mighty, عَرَضَ وِلَايَتَنَا, presented the wilaya of their imams, meaning presented it to the samawat, to the heavens and the earths and the mountains and the lands. And even their Sheikh known as Hadi al-Tahrani, he is considered one of their ayat and references in this time, mentioned, quote, تدل بعض الروايات على أن كل نبي أمر بالدعوة إلى ولاية علي رضي الله عنه بل عرضت الولاية على جميع الأشياء في فما قبل أو قبل صلح وما لم يقبل فسد. He mentioned that some of the narrations, meaning their narrations, that every prophet was commanded to invite to the wilaya of Ali, may Allah be pleased with him. Rather, he mentioned that the wilaya has been presented to everything, and whatever accepted became upright, and whatever rejected became corrupt. This is in Hadi Tahrani's book, Wada'i al-Nubuwah, page 155. Refuting this opinion, the mere presentation of this opinion is sufficient as a proof for its futility. Because there are so many opinions in this world, the mere fact of their presentation, just presenting them, asserts their futility. Meaning it is so obvious that they are futile to the extent that when you present them, they crumble. And this opinion is one of them. The Book of Allah is in our hands. It contains nothing of these claims. In fact, the da'wah of Ar-Rusul, the call of the messengers, alayhi wassalam, was to the Tawheed, to singling Allah alone, not to the wilaya of Ali, nor for the wilaya of the Imams, as they falsely claim. قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High says in Surah Al-Anbiya 21, verse 25, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. And we did not send any messenger before you, but we inspired him saying, لا إله إلا أنا, there is no true God worthy of worship except me, Allah alone. So worship me alone and none else. وقال تعالى في سورة النحل chapter 16 verse 36, ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن أعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. And verily, we have sent among every nation, every ummah, a messenger proclaiming worship Allah alone and avoid ta'ut, all false deities. Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Shu'aib alayhi salam said to their respective nations, "Ubudu Allah ma lakum min ilahin ghayruhu," as in Surah Al-A'raf 7:59. And also 7:65, and also 7:73, and 7:85. أَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Worship Allah, you have no other ilah through God other than Him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I have been commanded to fight the people until they testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad Rasulullah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is his messenger. And this is in Al-Bukhari and in Muslim. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he sent Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to Yemen, he said, إِنَّكَ تَقْدُمُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أَهْلِ كِتَابٍ. You are coming to people of the book. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Then let the first thing that you invite them to is عِبَادَةُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, the worshipping of Allah alone. And in another narration in Bukhari is أَنْ يُوَحِّدُ اللَّهِ, to make tawheed of Allah, to single Allah alone in worship. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. So there is nothing in the authentic Sunnah except that it stands as a proof to refute this opinion. And as the Sharih al-Tahawiyyah rahimahullah, the one who explained the Tahawiyyah creed, the creed which presents the creed of the Salaf, said in page 75, Inna a'immat al-Salaf, all the Imams of the Salaf, of the righteous predecessors, muttafiqun, in agreement, ala anna awwala ma yu'maru bihi al-'abd ash-shahadatan, that the first thing a person is to be commanded with is the testimony of faith. La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Fa ayna ma yaz'umuna min amri wilayati 'ali. So where is this claim laid down concerning the wilaya, giving allegiance and the reign to Ali? And if the wilaya of Ali is written in the records of the prophets, then why it is only solely reported by the rejectionists and no one else knows of it except them? Why then this was not also known to the other people from the other religions? In fact, why it is not recorded in the Quran, which supersedes all the previous books and which is preserved by Allah, the Most Mighty and Most Majestic? This by itself is sufficient to prove that this is a claim without a proof. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وهذه كتب الأنبياء. These are the records of the prophets. There is nothing of this sort mentioned, meaning of the mention of Ali in it. And those, he said, وَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَسْلَمُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, and those who accepted Islam from the people of the book, لَمْ يَذْكُرْ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ, none of them mentioned أَنَّهُ ذَكَرَ عَلِي عِنْدَهُمْ, that and that Ali was mentioned, you know, in their references or with them. فَكَيْفَ يَجُوزُ أَنْ يُقَالْ, then how could it be permissible to say إِنَّ كُلَّ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, that each one of the messengers or the prophets بُعِثُوا بِالْإِقْرَارِ بِوِلَايَةِ عَلِي, were sent to attest for the reign of Ali. وَلَمْ يَذْكُرُوا ذَلِكَ لِأُمَامِهِمْ, and they didn't mention this to their nations. وَلَا نَقَلَهُ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ, and none of their nations reported that. He said this in his book, which is called Minhaj al-Sunnah, Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 4, page 64. And his book Minhaj al-Sunnah is totally dedicated to the refutation of the Rafida. So how about these insults therefore, which claim that Adam alayhi salam and the rest of the prophets, except for those who are firm on power, left what Allah, abandoned what Allah commanded them concerning the wilayah and the reign of Ali. So therefore, such wilayah is futile. And thus, attributing this also to the prophets is another line. And it is from the amazing discrepancies that this excessiveness, limitless one, the limitless excessiveness concerning the infallibility of the imams, and this rough attitude regarding the best of creation, the prophets, isn't this sufficient that those who fabricated these tales have no minds, and that they themselves were charged with enmity? No one really dares to claim these lies except a heretic. And in these claims, it is as if they make the followers of the imams better than the prophets, excluding those firm in power. Why? Because the followers followed, and the anbiya, the prophets left. And this is the manifest straying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenants of the prophets alayhi wa salam, that if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be sent while they were alive, that they would believe in him and give him victory. This is what Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned in the explanation of the verse in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 81. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه قال أقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين. And remember when Allah took the covenant of the prophets saying, take whatever I gave you from the book and the hikmah, the understanding of the laws, etc. And afterwards they will come to you a messenger confirming what is with you. You must then believe in him and help him. Allah said, do you agree to it? And will you take up covenant, which I conclude you? with you. They said, we agree. He said, then bear witness and I am with you among the witnesses. So if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been sent amongst them while they were alive, they would take by the covenant to give him help and support and victory. As Ibn Abbas mentioned, and as related in Tafsir al-Tabari for this, volume 6, page 557. So now these rejectionists, as usual, wanted to make that which is for the Prophet, to make it the right for Ali. And it is the consensus of the Muslims that if the person believes, who believes in the Prophet ﷺ and obeys him, and dies in his life, during the life of the Prophet ﷺ, before he knows that Allah created Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, then this would not harm him in anything. And this would not prevent him from entering and admittance to paradise. And so if this applies to the nation of Muhammad ﷺ, then how about the prophets before? How could it be said that the prophets before is incumbent upon them to believe in one sahabi in this matter which these rejectionists claim? As Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah argued in his great book Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 4, page 46. Where are the minds of these people? Where is their intellect who believe in these foolish tales? How could it be done that a covenant taken upon those prophets before us and their nations to obey Ali in his imamah? This, as Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah mentioned, he said, and I quote, he said, "Hada, this is kalamul majaneen." These are the words of majaneen. And you know what's majaneen? Plural of majnoon. What is the majnoon? Majnoon. Insane. Naam. He continued and said, فَإِنَّ أُولَٰئِكَ مَاتُوا, those died before Allah created Ali. So how could Ali be an imam and a leader upon them? At most he would be an imam, a leader, what? During his life, during his time. But an imam and a leader for those who were created before him and for those who will be created after him, he said, فَهَذَا مِنْ كَذِبِي مَنْ لَا يَعْقِلُ مَا يَقُولُ. This is from the lies of the one who does not understand nor knows what he says. وَلَا يَسْتَحِي مِمَّا يَقُولُ, and is not ashamed of what he says. And he said, وَهَذَا مِنْ جِنْسِ قَوْلِ إِبْنِ عَرَبِيِّ الطَّائِي, and this is from the same type of saying of Ibn Arabi al-Ta'i and his likes. Ibn Arabi al-Ta'i is the infamous mystic Sufi. And he said, وَأَمْثَالُ, and the likes from the مَلَاحِدَةِ الْمُتَصَوِّفَ, from the deviant Sufis who say, إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاء, those who say that the prophets, كانوا يستفيدون العلم بالله من مشكات خاتم الأولياء, they used to benefit from the knowledge in Allah, the knowledge of Allah, from those who the seal of the Awliya, the Sufis, mystic leaders, those who was what present after Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, 600 years after Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So it is the same kind of a claim of the mystic Sufis regarding their leader and the Shia regarding their imams, he said. And he said, وَكِلَاهُمَا يَبْنِي أَمْرَهُ عَلَى الْكَذِبِ وَالْغُلُوِ, and each one of them establishes his argument upon lies and excessiveness and shirk and da'awa batila and false claims. And وَمُنَاقَضُةُ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّ وَإِجْمَاعِ سَلَفِ الْأُمَّةِ, and the opposition of the book and the sunnah and the consensus of the salaf of this ummah. As in Minhaj al-Sunnah, His book, Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 4, page 78. So now one may say, what's the objective, therefore, from such an argument by the rejectionists, which is obviously a lie? Is it really to turn people away from the deen of Allah? Because this is a known falsehood. Obviously false. So when they raise such a claim and attribute it to Islam, and others from other religions will check it, and they find it to be textually and intellectually futile, they will doubt concerning Islam itself. What would the world say concerning this analysis that the corruption of things, materialistic, you know, plants and so forth, and water and so, it's because of their position from the reign of Ali? What would the world say about this? Is this the deen which people need to present to the mankind? Or is the objective to distort the true Islam and turn people away from it? This is not strange opinion from the Shia. They have even worse than this. They say this opinion regarding the one whom they claim is to be the Imam. And they had said, regarding the two rightly guided caliphs, Abi Bakr and Umar, they said even most strange opinions. They said, it is established, quote, that, and we will talk about this later, but just to mention the point here, to focus upon the point. They said that, وَقَعَ الْخَبَرُ أَنَّ الْقَائِمَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that the one who is, al-qa'im, meaning their missing imam who went to this tunnel, when he will appear, he will come to Abu Bakr and Umar and bring them to life, and then will hold them accountable for every sin and every corruption that took place in the world. Even he will hold them accountable for the murdering of Qabil and Habil, and for throwing Yusuf in the well. And for the plot of trying to kill Yusuf. And for the plot of throwing Ibrahim alayhi salam in the fire. And they claim that no stone to be turned from its place, and that no drop of blood shed, except it is in their necks, meaning in the necks of Abi Bakr and Umar. This is in Al-Bahrani's book, Durratu Najfiyya, page 37. Also see the book, Rijal al-Kashi, page 205, 206. And also Al-Anwar al-Nu'maniyya, volume 1, page 82. So this is the first opinion. So can you summarize to me the first opinion? Can you summarize to me the first opinion, therefore? The first opinion is summarized in what? That the term Shia existed before what? That Shia existed before what? Before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah took the covenant of all the prophets, concerning what? The allegiance to Ali.
Now,
this is the first opinion concerning the emergence and initiation of Shiaism. Let's take, this is from their books, and you heard the refutation. Now, the second opinion of the Shia. Some of them in the past, and some of them in the present, claim that the Prophet والسلام, himself, established the seed of Shiaism, implanted the seed of Shiaism, and that the Shia appeared during his time, and that some of the companions gave allegiance to Ali during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shia's reference, known as Al-Qummi, says فأول الفرق الشيعية, the first of the Shia groups, وهي فرقة علي بن أبي طالب, and it's the group of Ali, المسمون شيعة علي, known as Shia of Ali, في زمان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and afterwards, were known for their support to him and confessing his imamah. And from them he named the following: Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad and Salman al-Farisi and Abu Dharr al-Ghifari and Ammar bin Yasir. He said, قال, وهم أول من سموا باسم التشيع. He claimed that they were the first to carry the name تشيع from this ummah. This is in Al-Qummi's Maqalat Al-Firaq, page 15. And who shares him in this opinion is An-Nubakhti, in his book Firaq al-Shi'a, page 17. And from the latter ones, Muhammad Hussein Al-Kashif Al-Ghata, who died in 1373, who said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَنْ وَضَعَ بِذْرَةَ التَّشَيُّعَ في حق الإسلام هو نفس صاحب الشريعة. The first to implant the seed of Shiaism in the field of Islam, listen to this, listen carefully to the words, is himself صاحب الشريعة, the one who was trusted with the Sharia, meaning Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. But listen to the words he says, meaning he means that أن بذرة التشيع وضعت في بذرة الإسلام. Think that the seed of Tashayyu was implanted in the seed of Islam. And this is a confession that the seed of Tashayyu is something other than Islam. He said, جَنْبًا إِلَى جَنْبٍ, side by side, وَسَوَاءً بِسَوَاءٍ, and on equal footing, equal level. And that he, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَمْ يَزَلْ غَارِسُهَا يَتَعَاهَدُهَا, continued to nourish it by, until it grew, and during his lifetime, then it gave the fruits after his death. In his book, Aslu Shia, page 43. And this opinion is also held by some of the contemporary Shias, like Muhsin al-Amili in his book, A'yan al-Shia, and Muhammad Jawad Mughniyya in his book, Hawiyyat al-Tashayyur, and Ash-Shirazi in book, his book, Hakada al-Shia, and Muhammad al-Hassani in his book, Fi Dalal al-Tashayyur, and Az-Zain in his book, Ash-Shia fi al-Tarif, and Al-Mudhaffar in his book Tariq al-Tashayyu, and others. This is the second opinion. So what is the second opinion therefore? What is the second opinion? That this Tashayyu was done during the time, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established it, that he implanted the seed of Tashayyu, and this allegiance was given by some of the companions to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu during the time life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Clear? This is the second opinion, the refutation of this opinion. It is interesting to note that Al-Qummi's opinion and An-Nabukhti's opinion. An-Nabukhti's opinion were the first to mention these things. And it could be that the reason why they resorted to this opinion is that because some of the Muslim scholars referred the origin of Tashayya and its beginning and its roots to foreign resources. Why? Because there are apparent things which indicate that, which we will talk about later. So therefore, because of that, the Shia resorted to give a legal cover for the term of Tashayya and refute their opponents by referring to the Tashayya to what? To non-foreign, but rather to even to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So that's why they fabricated all these narrations. And they attributed that to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they only, not only that, they even claimed that these narrations came from the from some of the narrations of Ahl Sunnah, while we know that every narration which they claim to give this a credit, quote unquote, to them is considered fabricated by Ahl Sunnah. And this is also not surprising even to know that the mystic Sufis also claim that the root of Sufism began so early during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Ahlus Suffa and also with Abu Bakr, because they need legitimization. They need legitimization. Secondly, this opinion has no foundation in the book of Allah, as well as it does not have any kind of foundation in the Sunnah. Not even a single authentic historical account. In fact, this is a claim which is in direct opposition to the foundations of Islam, and also in direct opposition to factual, the established matters. In fact, the Islam came for this entire ummah on one word, not to split it into groups and sects. And before the hands of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no Shia nor Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam." The deen with Allah is Islam, not to Shia nor other than that. And from the historically established accounts, which also stand as a refutation for this opinion, is that there was no existence of Shia during the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, فَفِي خِلَافَةِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ During the khilafah of Abi Bakr of Umar, لَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٍ يُسَمَّى مِنَ الشِّيعَةِ There was nothing, none named to be from the Shia, وَلَا تُضَافُ الشِّيعَةُ إِلَى أَحَدٍ Nor the term Shia was added to anyone. As in his book, Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 2, page 64. In fact, some of the Shia themselves, only few, two or three, finally admitted that the Tashayya was not present during the time of Abi Bakr and Umar. Here is the latter Shi'i known as Muhammad Hussein al-Kashif al-Ghata in his book Aslu al-Shi'a, The Origin of Shi'a, page 48. He said, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِلْشِيَعَةِ وَالتَّشَيُّعِ يَوْمَئِذٍ There was no base for the Shi'a and Tashayya then in the Reign of Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them. مجال الظهور, a way to appear. Why? Because he said, لأن الإسلام كان يجري على مناهجه القويمة, because Islam was established on its upright methodology. This constitutes a confession. Another confession by one of them محمد الحسين العاملي who said that إن لفظ الشيعة قد أهمل بعد أن تمت الخلافة لأبي بكر, that the term of Shia was abandoned after the خلافة had been established to أبي بكر, and he said وصار المسلمون فرقة واحدة. Listen but however to his words carefully, and the Muslims were one group إلى أواخر أيام الخليفة الثالث, till the latter days of the third خليفة. In his book الشيعة في التاريخ, Shia in History, page 39-40. However, we respond and say it is abandoned because there was no basis for it. How could it be abandoned and then not appear while in your opinion the line was Kafirs, Abu Bakr and Umar, as it is abandoned in your books and which we will refer to later? And where the Muslims then Shia during the time of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then one a group at the time of Uthman? This doesn't make sense at all. It is contradictory. Also they claim that from the Shia was constituted of Ammar and Abi Dharr and Al-Miqdad. Now, did any one of them hold to the creed, to any of the creeds of the Shia, like the creed of the text, meaning that the texts established the Shia and established the line for Ali? Do they believe in this? None of the companions believe in this. Not Ammar, not Abu Dharr, nor Abu Dharr, nor Miqdad. Does any one of them make takfir of Abi Bakr and Umar and the majority of the companions? No. Did any one of them disassociate himself and insulted any of the companions, including Abu Bakr and Umar? No, nothing of this existed. And so therefore what the Shia claim is still a claim and futile. It is fact a delusion of hate and enmity. Take for example Ibn al-Murtada, and he is a Shi'i from the Zaydi sect. He said, فَإِنْ زَعَمُوا أَنَّ عَمَّارًا وَأَبَا ذَرَّ الْغِفَارِي وَالْمِقْدَادَ بْنِ الْأَسْوَدِ وَسَلْمَانِ الْفَارِسِي كَانُوا سَلَفَهُمْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ بِإِمَامَةِ عَلِي عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أُكَذِّبُهُمْ. If they claim that these Sahaba, Ammar, Abi Dharr, Miqdad, Salman, were from those who gave the Imamah to Ali, I belied them, belied the Shia meaning. Because since he said, هَؤُلَاءِ لَمْ يُظْهِرُ الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنَ الشَّيْخَيْنِ, these companions which you name did not disassociate themselves from the Shaykhain, Abi Bakr and Umar, nor they insulted them. He then continued, أَلَا تَرَى أَنَّ عَمَّارًا, don't you see that Ammar كَانَ عَامِلًا لِعُمَرَ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ فِي الْكُوفَةِ, he was a delegate working for Ammar, for Umar ibn al-Khattab in Kufa. And this is established in the books of Ibn al-Athir, Ibn Hajar, Ibn Abd al-Barr, you know. And that Salman al-Farisi also was in al-Madain. These are established historical facts, he said, which destroys what the Shia claimed regarding these Sahaba. The third opinion, or let us finish with this. If the seed was planted by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then let us ask the following question. The seed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam would be pure or not? Question, would we pure or not? Yeah, pure. Would the seed of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam contain cursing and takfir of the Sahaba and the best of the nation? Would with the seed of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Even hint that part or the entire Quran is that we have in our hands is distorted, and it was distorted by the hypocrites of the companions. And therefore we have to wait for the correction of the Quran until we have to wait until the Shia is established to tell us of this. Where is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve the Quran? So their words and their claims in fact are insults to the Quran and insults to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself. For the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam implants nothing but good. This is the second opinion and its refutation. The third opinion. Some claim that the emergence of Shia took place on the day of the Battle of Al-Jamal, as mentioned by Ibn al-Nadim. And Ibn al-Nadim is a Mu'tazilite Shia. From his books is Al-Fihrist. He died in 438. There he mentioned that Ali went to Talha and Zubayr to fight them so as to return them to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then he, Ali, named those who followed him Shia. And he used to say Shi'ati. وسماهم عليه السلام الأصفياء الأولياء, the chosen ones. This is an isolated opinion by Ibn al-Nadim. And he is hinting perhaps that the history of Shia in the linguistic aspect which we studied earlier to mean the Ansar, the helpers, the followers. However, this saying does not stand to be a proof for the emergence of the Shia thoughts. Here it only refers to the linguistic meaning, which is Al-Ansar, the helpers. And we know that in the first talk, that this was not singled out only for Ali. It was used also by Muawiyah. So therefore this cannot be taken as a strong proof for the emergence of the Shia thoughts, that it began on the day of Al-Jamal. These are the Shia accounts of their history in terms of the emergence. And therefore, to summarize, the first opinion that Shiaism was established long time in history before the Prophet ﷺ, and that the companions gave the allegiance, and that the prophets gave the allegiance even before the creation of Ali. And the second opinion, that the Prophet ﷺ himself implanted Shiaism. And the third, which is the weakest in terms of the relevance in history, is that Ali used the term Shia during the Battle of Al-Jamal, and so the opinion says that this is where it began, but this is not strong for the argument which we mentioned earlier, that this may refer to the linguistic meaning, no more, no less. This is the Shia accounts in terms of history and their refutations. Inshallah ta'ala, in the next talk, we will talk about the non-Shia accounts for the history of Shiaism. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a beneficial matter for myself and for all of you, and a way where Muslims can benefit from this and build their arguments and their positions on that which is constitutes facts, not just delusions, nor emotions, nor political stance. والحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.